get to Friday. Seemed like it took all week to get here, didn't it? 590 WKZO time, 309, Raj Taylor and Derek riding home with you this afternoon. Derek, how's your day going?
Fantastic. I've had a great day.
Oh, good, mm-hmm. Good. We'll see if we can get you a couple of more hours of fantastic.
There you go.
Well, joining us now, Gary Wager. Gary and I have known each other a long time. We share an interest in cleaning up PCBs in our community. And, well, tomorrow, Gary's going to get up in the world, so to speak. Gary, how you doing?
Real good, Roger. Actually, I'm not myself. I'm not getting up in the world, but I'm glad Stone the cameraman is going to be up.
Okay.
On Elkhart Street.
And let's talk a little about what's going on tomorrow. And then I'd like to talk a little bit about what's going on in the bigger sense with the PCB pile we have on the south side of Kalamazoo. But let's stick to tomorrow at this point. You're shooting a movie on a contaminated site.
Well, we're shooting a music video. A local artist, Lisa Mwiri, I'm not sure if you've met Lisa before, but she created an original tune called Take It Away. And, of course, the it, in this case, is the PCB contaminated material at the Allied site.
Yeah.
Between Cork Street and Alcott along Portage Creek that you're familiar with. I'm sure some of your readers or listeners are familiar as well.
Oh, yeah.
So, Dom Gladstone with the Act Naturally Studios is shooting the video. We are going to have Lisa playing her guitar and singing her original song, Take It Away, at various spots around town, including for the finale, which, oddly enough, we're shooting first. Of course, that's the way these movie things go, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is tomorrow, after the holiday parade. The city is our partner in this and some of our other local businesses as well. And so the city's providing the bucket truck, you know, the High Ranger,
mm-hmm.
where we will have, I'm hoping, thousands of Kalamazoo citizens. Okay, maybe hundreds, right?
Or dozens.
Yeah, well.
Hundreds. Let's go for hundreds.
Hundreds, because yeah. It's right after the holiday break. People can park at Goodwill, 420 East Alcott, and to entice people to come over and be what I would call extras, that's a movie term, you know, extras, in our video. And basically the shot is a close-up of Lisa, beautiful young woman playing her guitar, Take It Away, and then the camera opens up and then goes up to reveal those hundreds of Kalamazoo citizens who are there in support of Taking It Away. And for their troubles to be in the video, which, of course, they'll show their grandchildren for years to come.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This will be a historical moment.
That's right. It'll be on YouTube, and hopefully it goes viral and, you know, all of that good stuff. But the main thing is, of course, we shoot the video. The people at the EPA are the ones we want to impress the most. So the more people we have there, you know how it goes, numbers talk. The more people we have there, the better. And besides doing the right thing for your hometown or your town of residence, which is to, you know, encourage the EPA to do the right thing, we also have some incentives. And you mentioned just before this that there was a spot on for Sweetwater Donuts.
Yes.
In my opinion, some of the finest donuts on the planet.
I completely agree, unless my wife or my doctor are listening, and
right.
Then I've never heard of the place.
Donut. How do you spell that?
Right? Yeah, right.
Well, Sweetwater Donuts, and what better to wash Sweetwater Donuts down than a good hot cup of Water Street coffee?
Mmm.
And the entree, really, is Martini's Pizza.
Wow, you treat your extras well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is, there's not much in the way of salary, but the bennies are great.
How about residuals? There aren't much in the way of residuals either, right?
Zippo.
But you do get a Sweetwater confection and some pizza and a darn good cup of coffee.
That's right. So this will be at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon after the parade. We hope everybody comes to the holiday parade. Everybody brings a canned good or a non-perishable food item and, you know, donates that and has a good time. Hopefully the weather will semi-cooperate, as it often semi-does.
Tomorrow doesn't look too bad. Clouds and sun and 55. There's no mention of any kind of precipitation.
Well, there you go. That'll work. That'll be fine. So that would be fine for people just to enjoy the parade and then hop in their cars unless they're on a bike or what. You can walk a few blocks. Come over to Alcott. Of course, it's at 420 East Alcott as Goodwill. We'll have our little canopy set up and the pizza and the treats will be there. And we hope to get as many folks as possible over there at the Allied Site parking lot right next door. And see, not cheese, but take it away.
Yes.
In sort of unison. As Dom moves into the clouds on the crane shot at the end.
There you go. When will this video hit YouTube?
Well, this is the finale, but it's the first thing we're shooting. So we have some other sites around town, probably six or so, that we're going to shoot yet. Near the Allied site, and some of our shamelessly using some of our children, because after all, it's for their future that we want the material removed. So we'll have some kids in there. Some seniors, hopefully from right across the fence, right across the creek from the Allied site at the Heritage community. And, you know, some other scenes from around town. Make it Kalamazoo-centered, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then once Don puts that all together, it will be on YouTube. We'll certainly send you guys a copy there at WKZO.
Cool.
And have it on our website, calrivercleanup.org. And hope to make everybody a star.
Sounds good. Sounds like a fun thing to do tomorrow afternoon to sort of add on to the parade.
Right. You know, you came out to the parade because you like where you live and you like to be part of the community and see all the folks that march in the parade. Probably maybe your kids or your sister's kids are in the parade. And so it'd be a good thing just to spend a few minutes after the parade. Come down and have some Water Street coffee, martinis, pizza, and or Sweetwater's donuts, or all the above. You know, what the heck? It's a holiday, right?
Yeah. Well, I may have to stop by just to see what these Sweetwater donuts of which you speak are. I've never heard of them before.
Right. Well, I'd be glad to broaden your horizons, Roger.
Well, and if my wife is with me, you're going to stick to my story, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it might not be just your horizons that get broadened, by the way.
My horizon is broad anyway. Let's get on to a serious question here. Where do we stand on getting the EPA to do the right thing with a pile of PCBs in the middle of our community?
Well, you know, in some ways, there were some good things to be said for having the government shut down, and that I got a gone fishing email back from the person I'm working with at the Chicago EPA office during the shutdown. So they couldn't do anything wrong during that time.
All right.
So that was good. And it really plays to our advantage to have them delay. Normally, you know, people are in a hurry. They're anxious to see some progress and they want to see it cleaned up. But right now, the extra time that we're getting for these various reasons, including, you know, the government shutdown, but also just, you know, the bureaucratic foot dragging that you expect from a federal agency, I guess, really worked to our advantage because we get a chance to do things like tomorrow's video.
Right.
To heighten awareness. And, you know, it's a numbers game, really, Roger. You know that. It's the squeaky wheel that gets the grease, and it's the loud, noisy, won't go away people who get federal money for cleanup projects in their backyard.
Right. What kind of a timeline do you see going forward with this, Gary?
Well, already, you know, the EPA has said that originally they were planning on announcing their proposed plan, which is, they've already told us ahead of time, is to leave everything in place. It's the con and cap.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Con you into believing that a cap will be sufficient.
Right, with nothing under it.
Right. No liner, no nothing.
Yeah.
But anyway, they were going to do make that official announcement this spring. But each time we do something here locally, you know, the city earmarked up to $200,000 to advocate for the proper cleanup. We've had success and garnered support from our federal representatives, Congressman Upton and Senators Stabenow and Levin. And so each time we do something, the EPA delays a little longer. Currently, they're saying probably next spring sometime would be when they make their announcement.
Okay. What barriers are in the way between now and next spring to get the EPA to do the right thing here?
Well, chiefly, it's money.
Okay.
You know, it always kind of boils down to money.
Yeah, follow the money.
Right. And so the progress that we have made along the money line is we are getting the EPA to negotiate and accept and deal with the offer from EQ, Environmental Quality Company, the company that owns the landfill over by where the material would be taken, the high-level material would be taken.
Yeah, the old Willow Run airport. Area. Yeah.
There's an approved landfill there. One of six approved landfills in the entire country happens to be located there,
mm-hmm.
which is not that far down I-94. So it is a feasible thing to do. Their bid to do the work to remove the material has, you know, increased over the past 2 years since they first suggested it. It's now up to $126 million.
Okay.
Which seems like a lot of money. And actually, it is a lot of money.
Yeah.
But it's only about a third of what the EPA's estimate for that same work was when they first proposed, you know, when they were looking at the laundry list of available options, ranging from doing nothing to the complete cleanup, you know,
yeah.
that we want. So instead of $366 million, which was the EPA's original figure, EQ has proposed, and they're not just saying we could do it for that. They say we will do it for that. You know, they're ready to start, you know, I suppose, in the spring, if should the contract be awarded. So it's a firm price of $126 million. And, of course, we have $50 million in a trust fund from the Chapter 11 settlement for LyondellBasell, the second largest petrochemical company in the world.
Sure.
They earmarked $50 million out of $103 million that they were fined, specifically for the cleanup of the Allied site. So we have somewhere between a 70 and 80, depends on how things go, million-dollar gap. And therein lies the rub.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to have the EPA, first of all, choose as their plan to do the cleanup. Versus what they tell us they plan on actually, right now their plan actually is to just leave it there,
yeah.
put up a new fence, and call it good. So we need to have support, political support, to find the money either in the EPA budget over a period of years. You know, I don't know how many billion each year the EPA gets in their budget,
mm-hmm.
but this would be a line item on that budget over, say, a 10-year period. $70 million in the grand scheme of federal dollars, not really into the paperclip money yet, you know?
Right.
So any other thing that I'm encouraged by, too, Roger, is in the bankrupt city of Detroit, not that far away, they're considering building my Red Wings, a brand-new arena, with a price tag of $600 million.
Yes.
And 300 of that is supposedly public money, 300 private funds. So for about a tenth of what it's going to cost them to build that hockey rink, we could get the PCBs removed from our city permanently, and the potential threat to the city's drinking water reclaim that land along Portage Creek, which is beautiful. There's deer and turkey. It'd be a nice park. And, of course, have the bike trail go along the meandering creek there. It could be lovely.
Yeah. And it could be a plus for the community. And as an old Millwood boy, that's my stomping grounds. And we can't afford to have a hole in the donut. That land is too valuable to leave contaminated. And especially when we could get it cleaned up for less than capping it. I don't understand why the EPA didn't want to clean it up in the first place, but we don't have time for you to explain the EPA to me.
Well, but it boils down to money. You know, the EPA's plan of what we call the kitty litter option, you know, you do your business and kick sand over it and walk away. That option, they have put a price tag of $36 million. Which we already have in the trust fund. And, of course, besides the money already being in place, there's a lot of pressure on the EPA. You know, there's a lot of Superfund sites across the United States, and each year when the EPA goes to Congress to get their annual budget approved, probably one of the first questions is, well, Mr. EPA, how many sites have you actually cleaned up? And then there's silence. And then there's a very small list. So there's a lot of pressure to move on, you know, check mark this one, done, and flip the page and go on to the next one.
Well, let's hope we will add cleaning up the area there between Cork and Olcott and Portage and Burdick while you and I are still here to appreciate it.
Yeah. You know, I would like to be able to take the trail. You know, I live right along Portage Creek, just off Millam in Portage. Uh-huh. So, and the trail gets me as far as Kilgore right now.
Yeah.
But so, if we could just get the Allied site cleaned up so the trail could go along through there, I could hop on my bike and ride to work at my office at Goodwill every day.
Yeah, that'd be great, huh?
Yeah.
And you can do your part tomorrow by showing up to be an extra in a movie. And your payment will be hot coffee from Water Street Coffee, a Sweetwater's donut, and a slice of the world's best pizza.
There you go.
Hey, thanks, Gary. I appreciate your taking time to talk with us this afternoon.
Thanks for the opportunity, Roger. I'll see you in the donut examination room tomorrow.
I'll be there.
All right.
590 WKZO time is 3:26, 46 degrees on the outside, and it isn't going to be bad to be in a movie tomorrow. Keep it in mind. A check of local news is next. Roger and Derek taking you home, and apparently there's a bump in the road, huh, Derek?
Yes, we have a issue on Westnage at Mall Drive. It's right over by the Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently the traffic signal is not working, and it caused an accident. So both directions on Westnage is backed up currently. And there is a repair crew on site, though.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And remember that always a dysfunctional traffic light is a four-way stop.
Mm-hmm.
That's not your signal to gun it and go through quick because I don't have a red light.
Exactly.
You stop and rotate as whose turn it is to go through the intersection.
Yep, that's how it goes.
Yeah. So thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see something people should know about, be a tipster. Give Derek a call, 382-4280, 877-382-4280. 45 degrees on the outside. We've lost a degree here in the last couple of minutes, but we're right close to the predicted high for the day. And any minute now, Bob Larson will be calling us and give us an update on the weekend weather. And it's important because the 2013 Kalamazoo Holiday Parade is tomorrow. Yep. Follow the festivities. If you can't go down there, starting at 10:45 with a live stream on our website, WKZO.com. And you can also hear about the parade right here on AM 590 WKZO. And then, as we heard with Gary Wager, you can go down to Olcott Street and be an extra in a movie and a music video tomorrow afternoon, or right at noon. It'll be on Olcott Street, about halfway between Burdick and Portage, right next to Goodwill. And you'll note the High Ranger being there. That's going to be used as a part of the videoing of the musical. So, and you get free pizza, a good cup of coffee, and a Sweetwater's donut. I should try one of those sometime. I've never had a Sweetwater donut, and I got to be careful because you go to the warm place as sure for lying as you do stealing. Bob, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm okay, Roger. How are you?
I'm just fine. Pretty day here. A little brisk, but pretty.
Yeah, nice to have the sun back out. Temperatures remain below average, as they have been the last couple of days anyway. Average high right now is at 52. And, of course, even with the sun out, most of the area is still in the 40s at this point.
And I looked at the extended forecast, and that cold period you talked about next week looks like it's going to happen.
Yeah, the cold is definitely going to happen. There's still all kinds of speculation about what may or may not happen in terms of a developing storm in the cold air. I mentioned yesterday the computer models were hinting at a possible nor'easter for the East Coast. Now they have that storm a few hundred miles out to sea with no such storm. Still, no denying the cold air. I think by now it's pretty apparent that that Arctic blast, the first of the season, is coming.
Ah, you can take it to the bank. So what's our word for today?
Well, the word is rapid because weather systems are moving quickly with a strong jet stream as we have gotten rid of the lake effect clouds. And we did have lake effect snow last night. I thought it was done. I didn't follow my own adage, the adage that you have to wait till the last isobar goes by. And very quickly, and an isobar is a line of equal pressure. When you have isobars that come in off the Great Lakes and basically steering, that basically dictates which way the wind direction is or the steering currents, they were still coming in off Lake Michigan until about midnight, 1 a.m. last night. They didn't really shift into the southwest until this morning. And until that last isobar goes by, you can never give up a lake effect. I was premature in saying it was done. We did have snow showers last night, but obviously they're gone now with the sun out. But rapid changes. A front will cross the area tomorrow night. Maybe a quick shower as the front goes by or approaches late tonight. That would be a rain shower. Tomorrow is milder, mid-50s. After the front passes, it's colder again Sunday, mid-40s. So we go quickly to milder, quickly right back to colder. The more substantial Arctic front comes Monday afternoon. And that's when things can get dicey. Again, I'm not impressed with lake effect behind this front because the wind direction is kind of north-northeasterly. Roger, but the front itself, when it comes through Monday afternoon, could bring with it snow showers that last into Monday night. We might pick up an inch or two of snow at that point.
I can hardly wait.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. Monday is one of those days where the high temperature is probably going to be in the morning, mid and upper 40s. And by late afternoon, it's probably going to be lower and middle 30s. And then dropping down, well down, into the 20s Monday night. So what may initially be rain showers with that front would probably change over to snow showers, and there is concern that it could get a little slick by Monday evening.
Okay. I know last night's precipitation began with the largest sleet I have ever seen.
Is that right?
It wasn't hail, but no. Boy, was it big sleet.
It's something that meteorologists refer to as grapple, which is kind of a conglomeration of snow pellets and sleet and raindrops, and you're basically left with something that I've heard it referred to as soft hail. It's not the same as hail you get in a violent spring thunderstorm.
Right.
But it has the same size and almost has the appearance of being hail, more so than just your run-of-the-mill sleet.
And that's called what?
Grapple.
Grapple?
Yeah.
Mm. I learned a new word today.
I use that for my weather word one of these days. It happens around the around these parts and all the way into off Lake Erie in Ontario. During the autumn, that's when we see our grapple.
Uh-huh.
That's our unofficial word of the day.
Yeah. Now, I got to use that three times yet today to keep it.
Okay.
I'll try to weave that into my conversation. Well, it is Friday, Bob.
So you know what that means.
It's Geek for Weather.
It is.
And where do we stand?
Okay, for the year, the yearly comparison last year at this point, of course, 2012, a mild year at this point. Through the first week of November, we were still 3.3 degrees above average for the year.
Okay.
This year, at this point, we're 1/10 of a degree below average. So it's about a 3.5-degree swing. The difference is much more pronounced when we look at precipitation. Last year, at this point, we were precisely 6 inches below average. We were 25.5 at 6 inches below average. Now we are 7 inches above average. A 13-inch swing in precipitation from last year to this year.
Yes.
For the month, we're only a few days into the month, about a week.
Mm-hmm.
Last November, the first week in November, was very cold. We were 8.6 degrees below average that first week in November. This first week in November, despite the turn to cold that we've seen of late, overall, we are a degree above average so far in November.
Yeah.
Precipitation-wise, last November, nothing at this point, 0.00. Obviously, this November, this first week, we have had rain and some snow. We're at just under an inch, and that's about 15/100ths of an inch above average versus 8/10ths of an inch below average last November.
Okay. Interesting. For as cool as the year was, the fact that we've ended up being so close to normal surprises me.
Yeah, we had a mild October. And the real extreme, the real greatest departures from average temperature-wise were at the end of last winter and on into the spring. The summer was pretty much average, and so far in the autumn it's been above average, and that has really taken a chunk out of that anomaly to the point where it's almost back to average, only 1/10 of a degree below average.
Yeah, yeah, but boy, have we gotten moisture this year.
Yes, we have.
Yeah. So, anything exciting over the weekend that we should look for, especially round about noon tomorrow when they're shooting an important music video here in town?
About noon tomorrow, we're going to be going back and forth tomorrow between clouds and sun. I think most of the clouds probably are in the morning, so I suspect by noon it's partly sunny. It is, however, going to be windy, a gusty wind out of the south, southwest, 10 to 20, gusting toward 30. So kind of hold on to your hat.
Okay. Well, thank you, Robert. You have yourself a good weekend.
Thank you, Roger. You as well.
And we'll talk to you Monday afternoon.
Sounds good.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bob Larson, AccuWeather meteorologist extraordinaire and all-around nice guy. And, yeah, the weather for the parade tomorrow, other than breezy, sounds good. And always a good time to be downtown during the holiday parade. Well, you know, back in the State of the Union address, President Obama brought up raising the minimum wage. He talked about raising it to $9 an hour. But Democrats chose to raise the president, no pun intended, to $10.10 an hour for the minimum wage. And there's a number of reasons why that's reasonable. The big one is that it would bring the cost of living into what we pay people as a minimum wage job. It would compensate for inflation. While the federal government isn't indexed to inflation, unlike some state minimum wages, and hasn't been raised in 4 years. If it had kept up with inflation since its peak in the 1960s, it would have been over $10 an hour. Many fast food workers have been calling for a $15 minimum wage, a rate that will soon go into effect in one small town in Washington state. And it would be a boost to the economy, while opponents of the minimum wage increase claim that it'll hurt job growth. Research points to exactly the opposite. There's little evidence that it would hurt jobs, but it would very likely help business by increasing demand. It would lower employee turnover, and boosting prices would give the economy a big boost thanks to more money in people's pockets to spend on purchases. You know, some members of the House of Representatives think we should cut food stamps or the SNAP program even further. You can't cut food stamps if you don't have a living wage being paid for the jobs. You can't do both. You can lower you can reduce the safety net. You can lower the support for hungry people, but you can't do that and cut aid to those people at the same time. And I don't know about you, I'm beginning to think it's time for companies like McDonald's and Walmart to quit freeloading on the government, and instead of depending on tax dollars to subsidize their employees, they ought to be paying for their employees themselves. It would lift millions of people out of poverty. A full-time minimum wage earners earn just $14,500 a year, which for somebody with a couple of kids living is $3,000 below the poverty line. The wage isn't enough to make rent in any state. Raising it to $10.10 an hour, on the other hand, would lift nearly 6 million people out of poverty. And that's what we would like to do if we want to reduce the number of people getting SNAP benefits. We need to get them better jobs. It would be a big help for women and people of color. People of color make up 42% of the minimum wage workers in the United States, despite representing just 32% of the workforce. And women, who make up two-thirds of the country's minimum wage workers, despite being just half the population, or just over half. Raising the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour would lift 3.5 million people out of poverty and close, at least help close, the gender wage gap. And a recent poll shows that 80% of Americans support raising the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour. And surprisingly, that includes two-thirds of Republicans and nearly 80% of those people making over $100,000 a year. On Tuesday, voters approved minimum wage increases in New Jersey and a town in Washington. They also approved raises in the 2012 elections in three other cities. In fact, when given the opportunity, voters nearly always approve minimum wage raises by a substantial majority. While House Republicans unanimously voted down Democrats' bill to raise the wage to $10.10 an hour in March, But at least 67 Republicans serving at the time supported a raise in the minimum wage back when George Bush was president. Isn't that interesting? But, yeah, the majority of Americans, even a majority of Republicans, think that we need to raise the minimum wage if we want to cut back on the support system we have for companies who are freeloading on taxpayers by not paying their workers a wage that gets them out of poverty. 590 WKZO time, 355. We'll have your AccuWeather forecast right after a local news update.
This Saturday brings the annual Kalamazoo.
Kalamazoo's news when you need it. At WKZO, the trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.